everybody. Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We got a jam-packed show for you today. Dania Jolly is joining us. She's the Deputy Chief of Staff and Cultural Affairs at Events DC. Passport DC is back. You're going to hear all about it. You know my next guest. She's Fox 5 reporter and host of Cooking with Como, Erin Como.
She's famous.
Well, she's famous. She's famous. She signed my arm already. But we're going to hear about her show, Cooking with Como, and how she got to be such a foodie. And all her stuff on Channel 5. Mm. Arlington native David Sachs left the professional world to become a farmer. He owns Grapewood Farm, where he grows organic Virginia grains. And he mills stone ground flour for lots of area restaurants. So you've eaten his flour.
It's the best.
It's the best. You're going to hear all about that in a moment. Jill Nguyen is the baker behind Capital Jill Baking.
If you
live under a rock, maybe you haven't heard of her. Otherwise, you would have. But she's born and raised in Hanoi. She's got a great story, and she joins us to tell about her life.
And how a gorgeous cake.
She brought in the most beautiful cake.
Yep.
And joining us at the perfect moment, since we just got back from Barcelona, is Isidre Sala. He's the head of the delegation of the government of Catalonia to the U.S. and Canada. St. Geordie Day is coming up.
Books and roses.
That's St. George for you Yanks.
Right? Books and roses.
You're going to hear all about it and probably a little bit about our trip to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. But first, Ashley McPherson.
No, not Ashley McPherson.
Oh, no, first, that's right. We're going to talk to Dania first.
We'll get to Ash. He can't wait to get to Ash.
Yeah, Ash is serious stuff, but so is Dania.
Okay. Hi, Dania. How are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
So Passport DC is back for the month of May, and this is one of the most fun activations that happens in the city, especially following the cherry blossom, like, insanity. So tell us what's happening and, like, how people can get in on it.
So, at first, thank you for having me. Events DC is thrilled to announce the return of Passport DC, which is a month-long journey around the world highlighting Washington, D.C.'s thriving international diplomatic community and its lively and varied culture. Mm-hmm. This is the 17th year of Passport DC.
Wow.
And it's a way for us to showcase outstanding cultural activities presented by the embassies. So this May, we'll kick off Passport DC with the International City Food Festival that's produced by Events DC. Mm-hmm. That is May 3rd at International Square from 4 to 9 p.m.
Oh, it's the second day. It's like an afternoon to nighttime event.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. Now, the second day is Saturday, May 4th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Still at the International Square, 18th and K Street. So come out and enjoy that. Also on May 4th is Around the World Embassy Tour. That is the big mamma jamma. That is where
listen to her emphasize.
I love that. I cannot wait.
That's where the non-European Union embassies representing six continents and islands in the Caribbean and the Pacific Ocean open their doors to DC visitors and residents. So that's on May 4th, and that's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can stop there, and then you can go to International City Food Festival that afternoon for the closing event.
Ooh, so I love that.
Great.
I'm just going to let you know, everything you're talking about right now is all on the list, areyouonit.com, so everybody's going to be able to see the times and the dates and the places, so it's all good. Can you tell us quickly about the All Hallows Guild Flower Mart? Because that, like, speaks to me personally.
Yes, that's a program where people can shop for plants and gifts, eat some fun festival food, enjoy children's activities, ride the historic carousel, and take in the beauty of the International Floral Exhibit. And that is at the Washington National Cathedral.
If you haven't been, it's so cool.
It's one of our favorite
events.
So much
fun.
We love it. All right. Tell everybody where they can find you, please, and where they can find more information other than the list, areyouonit.com.
More information at eventsdc.com. Come out. We're looking forward to seeing everyone. It'll be a great month.
All right, Dania. Thank you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right. So the one guest I left to introduce is a fierce guest.
She's
Ashley McPherson. She's the owner, curator, curator and lead mixologist of McPhierce Experience. Her nom de guerre is Ash McPhierce. She makes cocktails, including some with a little THC in them, that'll take you to another place.
Well, it is 420.
Absolutely.
It is 420.
Well, I've been waiting for the happy 420.
We're recording on 420. I just want to see God. I need to have a talk with God.
So. Oh, my goodness.
All
no,
right,
yes.
So tell us a little bit about how you got into the mixing business.
Yeah, so I've had an awesome experience doing a lot of different hospitality, wearing lots of different hats, and I decided to land in catering, management, cocktail experiences. And it's just been a really awesome ride being able to do a lot of different brand ambassador work with small black women-owned businesses as well, spirits. I've had an opportunity to create my own kind of product line. And as we get into more of the mood enhancing and mindful mixology realm,
that's
it's really becoming a really
safe way of describing it.
Exactly.
Right.
Mindful mixology. Shout out to all the people in the mixology industry out here in D.C. doing great things, paving the way. I'm like
so
thinking so many names right now.
I know,
I'm not going to shout them out.
What does mindful mixology mean to you? What does that mean?
To me, it's that we're drinking things and we're really being mindful about what we're consuming and putting in our body and making sure things are fresh ingredients, where we're sourcing our products from, the economies we're helping that we're also, you know, doing. But also some of us are, you know, being more conscious, drinking less alcohol. And so we have non-alcoholic or some other mood enhancing mocktails and experiences. So we're going to get into that some more today.
Was that code for? Code for something.
It's a code for something. I have some awesome cocktails. One of my favorites is Black Cherry Blossom. It's a really dope spin off of a whiskey sour with some Luxardo cherries and basil muddled in there. It's perfect for cherry blossom season.
Okay.
And I typically do infuse that with a little bit of CBD or THC, depending on the experience that we're dealing with during the day.
Those are six of my
favorite
letters.
I'm going to make us a quick mocktail. Right, exactly.
So now making us a mocktail.
I'm going to make a quick mocktail because I know there's a few of us in here that are mindful.
Okay.
And they are not drinking alcohol, but I'll spike it. We got lots of great things to spike with for the rest of us.
Okay, I was like, I don't know if it's mindful.
You're like,
but
wait, hold on now. Not me.
You're saying Festivus for the rest of us.
Okay, exactly.
All right,
I got
you. Make that. We're going
to
get into our next guest.
We'll taste in a second.
All right, now she's here. You know her voice, you know her face, and you know she's one of DC's preeminent foodies, Erin Como from Famous Fox 5, or Famous Erin Como. From Fox, but
yes.
I want to start from the start. You're Italian, yeah?
Yeah, I'm half Sicilian.
So, I'll be nice then. And did your love of food start as a kid, or is this something that happened as your professional life evolved?
Oh, it started as a child. My parents are social workers, and my dad, he is super serious. So it's hard to make him smile and laugh. You know, he runs a mental health center. But nothing makes him happier than a bowl of gnocchi and meatballs.
Well, who taught you? Was it grandma or your mom? Like, where? Not everybody like has that need to cook. So where did that come from for you?
So my mom is German, and she started cooking once she married my dad. She said that, you know, the kitchen closed at night for her when she was a kid after dinner. That's just the culture of, you know, her family. And when she started dating my dad, she went back to Pittsburgh with him, and his grandma, Lily Sinatra, Grandma Como.
Okay.
She's from just outside of Palermo.
Wait, stop right there.
Sinatra.
So are you related to either Perry Como or Frank Sinatra?
Not Frank Sinatra, but we do have Sinatra family reunions, and my dad's cousin is named Frank, and he lives in Pittsburgh.
So there is
so
a
you
Frank
are related
Sinatra,
to Frank Sinatra.
But not the Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
But I am related to Perry Como.
Okay. That's
a nice.
Yeah, it's my grandfather's cousin, so that's really fun.
And we were at Lake Como, so there
you
go.
All right, all ties in together.
Oh God,
let's move to your career. You went to college to do what, and you ended up in media.
So I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I went to college at Temple University in Philly for English and journalism, and I was working as a legal assistant at a workman's comp office, and I had to pick up a second internship, and I did it at CBS 3 in Philadelphia and fell in love with news.
Isn't that amazing? And then, how did you fuse food and news?
Say that fast.
Well, no, because honestly, like, local news has not for a very long time given the platform to local food coverage. Like, there may be a one-off or one thing, but like, if you look at what you've been doing, especially in the last couple of years, like, the amount of food coverage, not just on Fox 5, because I think you see some of the other channels kind of nipping at your heels on what you're doing.
How dare they?
Well, I mean, they see what you're doing, and it's so effective. Like, how were you able to, once you moved to D.C., And once you got into the food scene here, how were you able to take those stories and bring them on air?
So I got hired to report traffic at Fox 5 and be a feature reporter for Good Day DC. And I always gravitated toward the food stories. I love telling them. I had a road trip and series in Asheville. So we traveled all over Memphis and Chattanooga covering restaurants and places to stay, Dollywood, Graceland. Mm-hmm. And the food stories are my passion. So I started asking if I could do cooking with Como, and my bosses were super cool. And we started going out and featuring different restaurants on location. And then about a year ago, we started Lion Lunch Hour at 11 a.m. And
right.
It's my favorite show I've ever been a part of. I co-host it, and we have a local chef, either, you know, from a restaurant or a home chef on for the hour with us. They cook. We do liquid lunch segments where we feature mixologists and bartenders.
I mean, Ashley's like, hello, have we met?
So we're going to get Ashley
like,
booked.
Hey.
And Nikki's been a guest,
yes,
and we had so much fun talking with you.
Oh, right. I haven't been a guest.
No, because you
we'll bring you on.
Okay, so that's what's happening there, right?
Yes.
And so you're, but so like, can we talk about how you work within the community? Like, how do you find these stories? Because like, listen, we all get pitched a lot of stuff,
right.
But there's so much going on here. So how do you suss out the stories and how do you decide what works best on air?
So the chefs that come on for the hour to mm-hmm. present, to talk about pop culture with us, it's always a learning experience. And a lot of them bring sous chefs so they can help cook in the background. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun because you get to know the chefs on a personal level on the show because it's an hour with a chef, not just a 4-minute demo. You're
right.
Really getting to know them and their style and who they are.
That. I think that's so much fun. But then you go on throughout the day.
Yes.
Like it doesn't end there. I feel like you're on 24/7. So like, how do you have that many stories to tell? Like, and how do you come up with, like, I spent that day with you when the James Beard
right.
Awards were happening, right? The the finalists were announced here in DC. And you did stories all day long. So how are you able to sort of like see all that and make that happen?
I try to come up with a different angle for each show. So I'll mm-hmm. go live for DMV Zone during the 3 o'clock. And I
right.
try to come up with a different angle than what I'm packaging for Lion Lunch Hour, because after the show, I'll go out and cover a restaurant. And I try to tell good restaurant stories and tie it into whatever's going on. If Mother's Day is coming up, let's do a brunch story. You know, if there's a gym, I'll cover gyms too. Gotta have the balance of life, right?
You can't eat all that stuff, right?
Right. And yes. Everyone always asks, how do you eat all that food? I taste. And I'm sure you relate to this, Nikki. Mm-hmm. You can't eat everything
right.
you want to.
Oh, yes, you can.
Yes. I mean, as you can tell, right? are we going to take a break? Why don't we take a break now and then we come back? Let's talk about what you're launching. Because
oh,
you're
sounds
doing
great.
A whole new thing and it's very exciting. David and Nikki Nellis, it's Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Okay, so anybody who knows me knows that if it's sports, I will watch it on TV, except for cricket. I don't do cricket. But I love going to watch my sports at Nick's Riverside Grill in Georgetown. It's fabulous. They've got 21 TV screens down there. They've got a great selection of beers. The food is terrific. They've got a dish called the Crazy Big Nachos that is exactly as described, and a Detroit-style deep dish pizza that's just nuts. And there's nothing like watching a game, stuffing your face with a bunch of people that are enjoying it just like you are. Nick's Riverside Grill in Georgetown. If you love sports and you love fun food, go there. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, talking to our friend Aaron Como, the face, the voice, the everything of Fox 5 here in Washington. You have something new that's coming up for you along
yes.
with, you know, cooking
yes.
with Como.
So I love covering restaurants and chefs, but I'm a home cook. I make easy recipes during the week, and I think everyone in D.C. can relate to wanting dinner in under 30 minutes on a Tuesday night.
Well, not only that, you do a lot of that on your social,
yes.
right? Which I love.
So it started during the pandemic. I made this dish. It was the first one I learned how to cook when I was 10, and it's called Eggs and Noodles, and it's basically scrambled eggs into linguine with garlic and Parmesan cheese. And it's amazing.
Oh my God, that sounds so delicious. Doesn't that sound yummy?
When Scott Drunot at iEgg, you should hear this.
Yes, I should talk to Scott Drunot about this. So it got almost 5 million views on my Facebook Live during the pandemic.
Wow.
And I thought, hey, there's something to this. People can relate to family recipes and really easy meals with few ingredients that taste really good and homey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I started doing that on my Instagram stories and reels and across Facebook. So I just launched cookingwithcomo.com. And I'm so excited about it. Thank you.
I hear in the distance, not too far, a cookbook happening.
I literally had a phone call yesterday with someone who was talking with me about how to write a book proposal and how to get my stories together so we could tell stories and recipes. So I hope in the not too distant future we'll have something to talk about.
That'd be amazing.
Cool.
So what do you plan on doing on the website? Like, how is it YouTube videos? Like, how are you engaging with the public in this new platform for yourself?
So I started a Cooking with Como YouTube channel just to share my home cooking. And I hope to eventually get chefs on there to cook with me in my kitchen or go out to their kitchens.
Sure.
And then I'm also doing recommendations, not reviews, because I say I'm a celebratory journalist. I celebrate restaurants, not critique them.
I always say that I tell, I do not sell, right? Like,
yes.
I'm telling you about it. It's up to you to come up with the opinion about whether or not you like it.
Exactly.
I always say I eat and I do not care.
Right.
That's why you guys balance so well together.
Right. You could call it a balance.
Speaking of which, let me just jump in. New restaurants. I just had dinner at Cucina Marini.
Matt Adler. So good.
It was spectacular. Mm-hmm. Period. Have you been there?
So we went out and shot with Matt Adler and covered that restaurant the day before they opened. And we got in the kitchen and we made some pasta together. And it was so delicious. I actually have reservations there next Monday because I'm just so excited to get back.
I beat you there? Okay. How about that?
Well, I sort of beat you there a little bit.
But she did. She was there before they opened.
Oh, well, that's true. All right.
All right. So, Aaron, tell everybody, please, where they can find you on all the outlets and stay in touch with us on all the exciting things that are happening for you.
So you can visit me at cookingwithcomo.com, at Aaron E. Como on Instagram, Aaron Fox 5 DC, Aaron Como Fox 5 DC on Facebook. I'm easy to reach out to. And if you have a good food story, please DM me on Insta because I check my messages and I get a lot of good story pitches there.
Oh, I love that. All right, great.
Well, she's ready to rock and roll.
All right, great.
Thanks for joining us.
This mocktail's delicious, too.
It
thank
is.
You.
Ash McPherson. Okay. Is there ayahuasca in my drink?
No.
Right? I wish. And I just got back from Costa Rica. So
oh,
that
did
would
you? You're a bad girl.
Interesting. If it were something.
Ashley, talk about your business model and how you're affecting it right now. Like, explain to people what it is.
Yeah. So I'm your mobile mixologist. I do a lot of mobile bar services, everything from bar staffing to hosting at your private events, corporate events, in your home. And so since the pandemic, you know, that kind of made us do a big shift. And so I've been able to expand into some awesome elevated experiences as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of offer a host of options.
But so do you come into my house? Like I say, Ashley, I'm having a dinner party tonight for 10 people.
Absolutely.
And I want to do something really unique. How would you help me?
I would ask, what is the occasion? I'd ask, what are some of your favorite things? I definitely want to come up with a beautiful cocktail menu, signature cocktails for the occasion that are personal to you and your guests, and maybe pair them with the dinner menu that you have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, presentation's everything for me. So coming in with garnishes.
Do you supply glassware?
Cocktails.
Do you do all that?
I supply all the glassware, absolutely. Yeah, glassware, the whole bar setup, and just all the signature specialty syrups that I really focus on, too. Do a lot of house-made syrups with herbs, berries, just all the different things.
Okay, well, on that note, what are we making next? This drink, by the way, is delicious. What's
yes,
next?
You guys just tasted Black Cherry Blossom, definitely a huge signature for me. Next, we're going to taste California Love. Some more. Shout out to
I've tasted some of that.
Yes. Okay. All of us have tasted a little Cali Love. This is my take on a gin and juice.
Okay.
With a little cucumbers, ginger, basil, lime. I used to call it Green Queen. That was when we first created that during the pandemic, infusing and coming up with different fun recipes and things like that.
All
so,
right.
Okay, great.
Our non-infused version will be California
Love
today.
Thing.
Great,
right.
let's shake it up.
So our next guest is an interesting guy.
His name is David. Who introduced us?
Good morning.
Hi.
Emily Lansman.
Oh, right. She reached out to me.
Emily.
Shout out to Emily and the Friends of Urban Agriculture.
All right. So
exactly.
you were like a labor relations guy and all of that in the government, right?
Well, I mean, I had a background in communications, labor relations, government stuff.
And then you chucked it all and became a farmer.
Yeah, I mean, trading in one dirty work maybe for another.
Right.
But I realized that if I was going to affect some real change in my community, I needed to really get serious about it.
So you bought 500 acres of land.
Yeah, exactly.
And just stuck your hand in the...
Decided to really jump on and go farm full time. And when not farming in my Grapewood farm on the northern neck of Virginia, I do urban agriculture in Arlington with the Friends of Urban Ag.
Okay, great. So now we have two stories. To tell.
Two stories. Let's focus on Grapewood, though.
Let's talk about Grapewood. So on Grapewood, what you're doing, though, is really interesting because you're growing. You're making grains.
That's right. I mean, our tagline, Virginia Grown, Virginia Ground, we're really proud to offer grains that are bred for the Mid-Atlantic region, for bread flour. We do everything from wheats to rye, spelt, ancient grains. We're experimenting every time. We work very closely with Virginia Tech and their breeding program. So we're really trying to reinvigorate the Mid-Atlantic grain economy.
Can we talk about that? Can you expand on that a little bit? I mean, was the region that you're in and where you're growing right now, was that once a region where there was a lot of grains grown, where people just growing grains in their backyard?
And why is it no longer?
Right. Can we talk about just a little bit of the history of that?
Big and business, then how you're... big farming. I mean, we can see consolidation in every sector, right? So what used to be there just isn't anymore. The infrastructure is missing. Mm-hmm. So we set out to sort of rebuild that. And through the Common Grain Alliance and sort of as founding members of the CGA, we've really been paying attention to how the role that we can play, both as producers, as millers, stone ground millers.
Well, here's the question.
Don't question that because we have to stay on this thread.
I want to stay on this thread. Give me a break. Uh-huh. I actually have a real question.
Okay, all right. See it.
Big Ag. So they can do it for less.
Yeah, this is true.
So how are you able to stay in business? Is it people will pay more because they want something that's a little bit more?
You know, fortunately, not all goals are measured in dollars and pounds. Right, not all success is measured in quantified in dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're in pursuit first and foremost of healthy soil. Okay, shout out to Earth Day and to all the people.
Yeah, great timing. We didn't even do that intentionally.
Passionate about our soil.
Love your mother.
Love your mother. That's right. You know, and you know, I'm a big fan of permaculture and systems design. But really, I'm passionate about soil.
So could we talk about that? Like, did you have to really? That's where I was kind of going. Like,
sure.
So what did you have to do to get the soil ready to do
this?
Well,
I mean, conventional agriculture and corn, wheat, and soy is just, after years and years and years, it's just going to deplete the soil. That's right. So I know you've had a lot of guests on here that talk about different ways, different farming practices. But, you know, we've developed something that works for us that allows us to put a crop of grains through and then spend 2 years after that crop rehabilitating the soil. We do a lot of cover crops, a lot of biodynamic nutrients, a lot of applications to rebuild the soil, and we feel that translates into healthier soil, healthier plants, healthier flower, healthier people in our community.
That's amazing. Can we talk about what the – so for people who don't know, like – you're growing wheat.
Yeah,
like,
I brought a little bouquet for you today, actually.
I feel like I'm Miss America.
This is some of our, you can see there's just a couple stalks of wheat, some rye, some ancient grain. It's a spelt.
Okay, this is wheat.
In your right hand is wheat, rye, and spelt. That's dried from this year's harvest.
Okay.
In your left hand, it's still living. This is actually from a community garden this morning, but you can see what wheat and rye and some crimson clover that we were growing as a cover crop.
Okay.
You can see what it looks like.
Tommy James and the Shondells. Yeah. Crimson and clover. Okay. I want to know the difference between spelt and wheat and rye.
Sure. Okay. Well, they each have different properties, and Jill can talk a little bit about it. But you know, they each have unique properties and flavors, and we feel that some of that flavor, that terroir that you can really taste in the soil, comes along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spelt, of note, has a slightly different construct. The gluten in spelt is more easily digested by some of our customers, and we feel it just offers a different flavor. Similar with the rye. It has a different protein, different chemical balance, but it has
different flavors. I just read an article about rye. Rye is supposed to be all of a sudden, it's like a superfood.
Yeah, well, we grow Danko. It's one particular rye that our bakers love. And with all of our seeds, we're trying to save our seed, replant it so that we can really develop genetics for varieties that are Virginia grown and Virginia specialized.
You know, David, I've been often told that I have a wry sense of humor. So,
I've heard that.
Once you develop the farm,
yes,
and your concept,
yes,
I mean, did you know how to mill stuff? How did you go about
it? The secret is not to make mistakes. It's not the wrong mistakes.
Okay.
Right? So you make the right mistakes or learn from others, even better.
Right.
But no, the truth is, you know, there's a learning curve. You know, and the fact is that we started out. Small, but every year is such an opportunity. And, you know, inherently as a farmer, I am someone really that has a hopeful spirit. You know, I'm eager and excited to face challenges. And every year, thank you, Lord, I get another chance.
Right.
You know, so to learn and do better. You know.
But can we talk about the milling process?
Sure, of course.
How does that work? And then I want to talk about the milling process because I'm very interested in it. And then I'd like to learn more of like how you engage with the general public so that they can utilize your product and
Absolutely.
Have a better understanding of why it's so important to
First
buy
milling,
local.
You know, modern roller mills using, you know, high throughput, high capacity mills. The temperatures get elevated. They're milling on steel burr mills many times. We do a stone ground product that keeps the temperature low. Mm. And that preserves all of the flavor and all of the oils inherent within the grain.
Mm.
We also mill fresh. So a lot of our product really isn't going to be on the shelf for a year, 2 years. No, it's fresh. So you really can't. I mean, how everybody in the room, I think, can relate to the idea of working with fresh ingredients.
So, sure. We only have a couple of minutes here before.
No, we're just taking a break.
Oh, we're going to take a break. I mean, you're working with lots of local bakeries and restaurants.
Yeah, about 70% of our business is straight to commercial restaurants and bakeries. We really look to them to Yeah, and we've worked with some amazing bakeries along the way that have been not only patient but helped us understand what products to offer, how to grow. But we do sell directly to customers through our website and through farmers markets now. So you can look us up online. You can, of course, try and experiment with your own stuff in your own kitchen and work with some fresh ingredients.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about, like, when you're working with different consumers, like the way you mail,
sure.
like the fineness of it, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because, like, there's all different
there courses, sure
all textures. Like,
yeah, there's
some
a
interesting
lot.
Things.
We,
okay,
yeah.
This is David and Nikki Nellis. It's Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David Nikki Nellis, talking to David Sachs.
Hello.
Business guy turned farmer.
He's so happy.
He's like, he is happy.
And I love it.
I got a lot to be happy about.
I know, but I find your bubbly personality infectious. It's nice.
Okay.
We have a lot of bubbly people in studio today. It's
well, pass that positivity along.
Yes, I know.
It makes me want to go out and plant something.
Whoa.
I mean, no.
That's exactly.
Right. Yeah, mine will be pot, but whatever. Right. I'm going to plant something. All right, so let's talk about you brought in some very pretty stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, well, I'm happy to share today. We got some of our community cornbread. This is developed through our relationships and our friends in the Common Grain Alliance. We have a friend in Maryland that grows the corn. We mill it and blend it with our soft red wheat. My mother bags these adorable little bags that are a little kit. And I brought two for you today. These are for you. One for you to have yourself and one to pass on, to share.
Thank
the whole
you.
Idea
I
being
that.
That it's a community
well, you know,
sort
if I don't
of event.
Pay Andy,
share with
our
others.
Producer, like,
5%
he gets angry,
of
so.
All the proceeds
well,
go to
pass,
local
I'm not
food
leaving
banks.
Anything to my family when I croak, so I'll pass these on.
Well, you know, share. Please share. And, okay. and again, the percentage of the proceeds goes to a local food bank.
Great.
We're just really proud to offer it. So we've got some samples here and some Virginia chutney if people want to try a little
so
bit
David,
of cornbread chutney.
Can we talk about the Grain Alliance just
sure.
quickly? We have like a minute and a half
yeah,
left.
No problem.
What is it? Why is it so important? And
sure. Again, just referencing locals, back right. to that idea of missing sort of the missing infrastructure. You know, the CGA was founded to really promote this Mid-Atlantic grain shed and really connect the producers, farmers in my case, and the millers also in my case, and the bakers. To provide access to local grains, which was missing. You know, if you go to the, down the road, many people are really disconnected. They can go to the farmer's market and they can, buy their local vegetables. Well, now, thanks to the CGA and Fresh Farm, shout out to Fresh Farm, a small grant, we now have farmers, a grain stand at farmer's markets in DuPont, Mosaic District, Silver Spring, and Arlington, where shoppers, consumers, bakers can access local grain. So a big shout out to the Common Grain Alliance, Madeline Smith, and the rest of the leadership there who have been partners. And they've helped us not only understand how we can access a market, mm-hmm. but how we can grow as a community. And it really is a sense of shared responsibility. So there's a lot of information that goes back and forth, a lot of mutual support.
Mm-hmm.
And as we think about infrastructure, missing infrastructure and milling and both cleaning and all of this, I intend to be in this for a long time.
Well, I love that. And I just to sort of circle this all the way back, I think it's so important. You brought up farmers markets. We all go, we buy local, we compost. I'm getting, I'm paying all this money for eggs that are local and blah, blah, blah. Like,
mm-hmm.
grains are the next step. And it does sort of broaden our point of view when we realize that it is important to think about where everything is coming from. And when you buy that bag of flour or bag of whatever, in the grocery store, you don't know how long it's been there. You don't know how fresh it is. And the change
you don't
that,
know
that,
what's in it.
Yeah, that's right.
And
so
it means reflected in your final product.
It means a lot to
different.
Us to offer organic products, grains that are clean. A lot of our customers care about the chemicals that are applied to crops. So it means mm-hmm. a lot to us to really honor that ethic. But also, in terms of your question earlier about sort of stone ground and different sort of different finenesses or sifting or all of this,
mm-hmm.
We find that, there's so much more than just all-purpose flour.
Yeah.
And you can do so much. So listening to our bakeries, listening to our customers, and really responding to their needs has driven sort of our innovation and the products that we offer. And it's just so exciting to work with bakers and see just a constant stream, not only of like awesome baked goods, but every week we have people coming to the farm. And you'd think that farm life is isolating, but it's just the opposite. We welcome people to come and visit to see what we're all about. We have an open door policy, but I get to meet
right,
some of the most amazing people.
I'm so sorry, I got to wrap you up.
Sure.
Tell everybody where they
can
find
sure,
you.
Sure, no problem.
The
we're at grapewoodfarm.com on social at Grapewood Farm. My name's David. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm ready
all
to
right.
follow you into battle.
Let's go, bud. Let's go.
All right. Ash.
Ash.
Yes.
Ash McPherce, hey. Come back to the table. All right.
We are back to cocktails.
Oh, yeah. So Pierce tell cocktails. Us about this California cocktail because it's delicious.
Yay. Yeah. So fresh ingredients, fresh everything, fresh cucumber. Mm-hmm. I have some fresh ginger syrup and fresh basil that we use as the base of mm-hmm. this. And what's great about these fresh ingredients is they make great mocktails. And
that's what you want to say. Ash McPherce gets fresh with you.
Okay, we get wow. fresh. I love that.
Hashtag, okay.
Fresh and fierce. Fierce and fresh.
I might
okay.
make a career out of that.
Let's go. I'm ready for the new slogan. and yes, oh yeah, a little plug there. We're going to be celebrating our 4-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
With the infused and mood enhanced
can we get into that a little bit? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so, I mean, we infuse with a nice hybrid THC. Mm-hmm. I love that because it elevates whatever mood you're into. I like to think a hybrid, if you're feeling, you know, sleepy, you want a Netflix and
but
chill.
But does it go into the alcohol-free drinks or the drinks with alcohol
as well?
It goes
into either or. So when I'm infusing Damn. It in cocktails, I'm being very mindful in how I'm balancing, making sure I'm doing a nice low dosage of THC.
I just hope everybody in studio
nice
Uber today because I don't know what you're getting.
Well, I want to know.
And
when
I know
you, when
some
come.
People are like, oh my gosh, this is like intense. And I'm like, no, there's levels to this. And everyone's right. tolerance is different. And everyone, you know, can take a little bit and be just fine and happy and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And after a long, stressful day or week, it's healthy to relax and distress.
So it's a light touch. In other words, you don't show up at our house with all your stuff and a bunch of body bags. Right.
Right. No, 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 no. I definitely keep it upon request. This is upon request. This is an additional feature.
Okay, so what are you making for us next?
Yeah, right. So next, yes. Next, we're going to give me my flowers. We're calling it. Give me my flowers. This
Perfect.
Is a 420 and a Happy Earth Day special.
Uh-huh.
We're featuring Sorrel hibiscus liqueur in it. That's a fabulous black-owned spirit. Shout out to Jackie Summers.
Okay.
And how we also have some Vusa vodka, a lovely South African vodka, actually, made with 100% sugarcane. And just a really nice spin-off of Cosmo. So
Excellent.
We'll,
you get to it?
We're going
to
shake it up. Shake
okay.
it up.
All right, shake
gonna,
that up.
We're going to get to baking.
Now we're going to get to something really
so
sweet.
Jill Nguyen is the owner and baker at Capital Jill Baking on the Hill. It's a neighborhood microbrewery.
I wish.
How much of that have you had to drink?
Plenty. Damn that, Ashley.
All right.
But I want to start off, you know, I want to hear your whole story here, but Axios calls you a bake master. That's pretty high praise. So how did you get from wherever you were to being a bake master?
It's a really, really long story.
Okay, well, we only have 10 minutes.
We got all day.
Well, I was born and raised in Vietnam. That's, like, mm-hmm. really, really far away. But I grew up with a love for food. Like, my mom's an amazing home cook. And growing up, we would always go out to eat and then dissect, like, what went into that dish, the spices, the method of cooking. And I actually came to the U.S. for school and actually worked in a few food services job to pay for college. And, you know, I had a job in D.C. and worked in politics and technologies, but always loved cooking. Like, mm-hmm. food has been my love language this whole time. And during the pandemic, as the whole world was just chaos, I wanted to find a new hobby to calm my mind. And somehow I found my way to sourdough baking, as everyone did. Did you?
It was pretty big. Somebody gave me a starter during the pandemic, and I fed it for, like, 3 months. I was like, I am never making
a
sourdough
bread.
And then I just shot it. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I mean, I literally fed that thing like a baby every day. So no, I did not bake bread.
Well, my baby, Scarlett yes. Dohansen, that's her name. She's still alive. She's
so cute.
Still running my entire business.
Okay.
I always say that girl can claim me as dependent on her taxes.
Okay.
And I just started as someone who wanted to make bread and gave to friends. And then I started selling to my neighbors because I was living in Columbia Heights and there wasn't a place to get freshly baked bread mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. And then that's how I got started. And 2 years
I know, but
ago.
Bread baking is really different.
Very technical.
Pastry baking, like yes. two totally different kinds of baking. So how did you slow roll to that?
Well, I actually, like, before the pandemic, I have never baked in my life, not even cookies or brownie or anything.
You've never baked in your life? When I look at the cake that is sitting in front of me right now, I'm like, that girl has been baking for a very long
yeah.
time. Like,
4 years.
I was thinking like a childhood baker. Wow. Okay, so talk to me. How did you do that?
So the bread side, so, you know, cooking is really fun. Like, you're smelling things, you're adjusting, you're seasoning. Baking is very much technical and you kind of like have to follow a certain formula and the process. And at some point you just kind of like hope for the best. So I found that really therapeutic.
My grandmother used to say, for real, that baking involves a lot of prayer.
I still pray every minute. That's to the sourdough God.
Right.
And, you know, the bread's eye is really nice because, like, you have to be very prepared and scientific. Mm-hmm. And I think the pastry, there's a bit more steps to it, and it's nice. It kind of, like, helped fit into my schedule between bread and pastry and the creativity. And sometimes you can swap different ingredients much faster.
There's also a little bit, I think, with baking. Like, I know a lot of people are like, it has to be so exact. But I feel there's a little bit of flexibility in baking as opposed to baking cakes, like pastry baking, cake baking. Don't you feel?
Yeah.
You can play a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's why I started baking cakes. I mean, I started making cake last July and actually just celebrated my 100-layer cake this week.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. Look at all the celebrations we have in studio today.
Was it a boy or a girl?
Well, it's a spring girl.
Okay. So yeah. Let's talk about your business model now. How are you getting out in public? What are you selling? How can we get in on what you're doing?
So Cabra Joe Baking is a cottage bakery. So I'm licensed under the DC Health to bake and sell from my home in Capitol Hill. So mm-hmm. every Sunday there's a pre-order and folks can browse a menu, pick the pickup times that work best for them, and then kind of like prepay and get all the information to pick up. So I do that every week.
So you change the menu every week?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's kind of like whim, like what's interesting, what ingredients I have in my pantry. Like if David gives me some grain today, I might work that into next week's
recipe. Hello, David. Can we get some grain, please, for this young woman?
Wait a minute. He couldn't hear you. He was listening to the cash register. Okay.
Actually, Chef Scott Druno gave me some wild ramp last week, and I'm like, I am making wild ramp pesto for focaccia next week.
Yes, you are.
Because he's like, I have a ramp guy, and I'm like, I'm coming.
Yeah. So just to back up, Jill and I met. Scott Druno and Danny Lee did a Lunar New Year tea where Jill was the featured baker, and that's where she and I met. And that was like, they should be doing that every weekend. It was so delicious. Like, that totally spoke to me, and I was so blown away by all the things that were on the tray. And that's why you're here today. So.
Yeah.
Hi, Scott Druno. I think we say Scott Druno's name on every show.
Today.
Right.
I adore those guys.
I know,
but
so
also,
great.
So beside the weekly bake, I also do bespoke cakes. And like you said, it's a really great way to like experiment with flavor and colors and seasonal flowers.
Well, I wish people will eventually see a photo
It'll be
of
up
this.
On, yeah,
but
site.
Was this cake something you've ever made before, or did you just
I just thought about it at 10 p.m. last night.
It looks like we were just in Barcelona. It looks like a Gaudi.
It does look like a Gaudi. Like it seems very Gaudi-esque. You know, Gaudi is like sort of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Wild, and that's. Totally
I love whimsical cakes, but also this gave me a bit more headache than usual because it's my first dome cake.
Okay.
I just got this cake pan, and I was like, "Oh, an occasion to make something new."
So, what is a dome cake? What is?
So,
I mean, I know I'm looking at it.
The top is not flat; like, there's a bit of it, like a dome look.
No,
so, you
like
cook?
A...
It's a mold, but it's so does
yeah.
it cook like a bundt or no?
So there is one cake pan that it's like a half moon.
Okay.
Yeah. So like it's three layers of normal cake and then one half moon dome. So it's three and a half.
For really. People okay. that can't see it now, right? It looks like the Duomo with flowers growing out
or
of it.
Like a
I don't
cloche,
know.
Right?
So it's an olive oil cake with yuzu, which is my favorite fruit. And it's also beginning of fig leaf season. I have a fig tree in my backyard. And mm-hmm. so it's fig leaf custard and strawberry compote because it's like I love fig leaf and strawberry, and it's seasonal.
I'm sorry, fig leaf? So you're
yes.
using the leaves from the
yeah.
fig tree?
Yeah, oh my God. I can't wait for you to taste this, because fig leaf, yeah, it's like literally, like I just pluck it from the tree,
our
clean
fig
it,
tree
toast it.
Right, but our neighbor has a fig tree that leads over my
the
fence.
The leaf's amazing.
And I
like, when
lots
you
of figs.
When you toast it lightly, and I usually, what I do is either infuse it into cream or milk, or I blend it with olive oil and use like a fig leaf oil, olive oil. It tastes, it smells like coconutty vanilla pandan.
Oh my God.
It's a amazing. Very unique, a little green, kind of like 420 Earth Day.
Okay,
on
so we're
brand
leaning in.
Here.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I see where you're going. All right, please tell everybody, because we got to take a break and then we got to get into St. Jordy Day and
yeah,
wind
man.
Up with Ash. So tell everybody, please, where they can find you, how they can order with you and talk to you and do all the things.
Sure. So Jill Nguyen from Capitol Jill Baking, like Capitol Hill, but it's Jill.
Right.
My weekly bake Every Sunday at noon, there's a pre-order for the week with all the information. You can find me on all social network, Capital Joe Baking. That's capital with an O.
And you're very active and doing really fun things on there.
I love showing all behind the scene. And also, I have a lot of upcoming fun events, pop-up, collaborations with restaurants. Everything's on my website, capitaljoebaking.com.
Thank you, Ben.
And I love fig leaves. I like to run around the house wearing nothing but, you know.
Great coverage.
Great coverage. Great coverage.
Yes, it is. Okay, on that, we'll take a break.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. You know, the Kettle on Food Week takes place to celebrate the festival of San Jordi or St. George. You remember he killed that dragon for a princess to save a princess. It's a great festival, and we brought in today an old friend of ours, an old friend of the show, Isidre Sala. He's the head of the delegation of the government of Catalonia to the U.S. and Canada, and he's got news about the festival of San Jordi. It starts on April 23rd, right?
Yeah, correct. April 23rd is San Jordi Festival, but since it's a Tuesday, from today, we are starting the Catalan Food Week in the U.S. Mm-hmm. with over 30 restaurants, including in the DMV area, that they are celebrating this San Jordi with specialties from Catalonia, healthy, nutritious, and amazing drinks and foods inspired in Catalonia.
So for people who aren't aware of what encapsulates Catalonia, the region, can you explain where that is in Spain? I mean, we were just there, so we know, but for those who haven't been.
Well, we know everything.
Right.
Well, first thing, people sometimes don't know enough Catalonia, but everybody knows Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So Catalonia is the region of Barcelona. And Catalonia is in the crossroads between Europe and the Mediterranean. That mm-hmm. makes a very special place that has been by centuries. Many people have arrived there, and then our culture is a combination of all these influences from many of the different people from Caesar Roman and even the Greek times.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you affecting this week here in D.C.? What does that mean for people who live here? How can they engage with it? Where are they eating? What are they eating other than Embirico? Because
that was 14 questions in one question.
Because I ate so much Embirico.
No,
it was so yummy.
Yeah, when we would drive down the streets, pigs would run in circles. They were so afraid. So,
yeah. So I invite you and everyone to visit the participating restaurants in the DMV area. Mm-hmm. We have Casa Teresa, for example, in downtown D.C.
Just
opened a
Ruben.
Few months ago. We have the different Catalonia wine bars, both here in D.C. and also in restaurant in Virginia, and also Mercat Bar de Tapas in Rockville, where you can go and ask for the specialties they are offering this week. Some of them they offer every day. They have Catalan-inspired food in their menus, but they are probably offering something special these days. We provide them also some leaflets, some materials to inform about what is the San Jordi Festival. And tomorrow, we have also in Kensington the Catalan Book and Roses.
We lived a block and a half from where that's
going. We'll be there tomorrow. We were there last year.
Yeah.
We will see you.
So can we talk about the festival? Because it's Books and Roses,
yeah.
Right? So
why Books and Roses? I mean, the rose, maybe St. George gave it to the princess after he killed the dragon, but he didn't give her a book.
No,
there are different origins.
You're supposed to give, the men are supposed to receive books and the women are supposed to receive
roses. Why, because we're stupid, Nikki?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yes.
No, the
why
thing
do
is
I have
that,
to say
you
the
know,
obvious?
San Jordi.
I'm too stupid to know.
Yeah, San Jordi is the saint patron of Catalonia, but as well as, for example, England and many other places in the world, like Georgia, for example. Mm-hmm. And the legend says that San Jordi arrived to a place that there was a dragon that was threatening to kill a lady every day. Mm. Otherwise, he would kill everyone. So the lady of the day was the princess. So San Jordi, who fell in love when she saw the princess, was brave enough to kill the dragon. And from the blood of the dragon, sparked a rose bush. And he gave
this is how Nikki and I met.
Exactly. You kill a dragon to me, how? Great. So that's why it's for us, for Catalans, it's our San Valentine's Day. It's the day that traditionally, for centuries, the men give a rose to the lady he loves. Nowadays, everybody gives roses to everyone.
But why do the ladies
no
give the men? I don't understand the book part.
Yeah, that's separate origin. But, you know, on April 23rd is the anniversary of the death of many very famous writers in the world, including William Shakespeare, for example, and Miguel de Cervantes, the famous Spanish writer, and others. So in the late 19th century, someone had the idea, let's make a special day to celebrate literature, and they choose that day, And then everyone give a rose to the person they love, they care. And it has been so huge, so big, that 25% of the books in Catalonia are sold in one single day, Sant Jordi Day.
Really?
Everybody buys and gives books to everyone they love and they care. And 60% of the roses of the year are sold in this one single day. Million roses in
That's
one day.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
Yes. Okay. So, all right.
Wrap it up.
Do we have to wrap it up?
Yeah, we do.
We'll see you tomorrow. So in Kensington, it's basically book stalls all along Howard Avenue.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing book
it's
festival.
It's going to be book stalls. It's going to be music. It's going to be performances. It's going to be writers signing books. And it's going to be a demonstration of Catalan tomato bread, which I invite you to come and taste.
Wait, so here's my question. Because in some of the places in Barcelona, some did the crystal bread and some did like bread. What's traditional?
So the traditional is, in the past, of course, people were not so wealthy as they are now, so they have the bread they had. So the thing is that...
Okay, so I'm being snobby? Are you telling me I'm being a snob?
To spread with the best
bread.
What a
bread
shock. Have.
Oh, wait, stop the presses.
to spread the tomato, extra virgin olive oil, a piece of salt, and then you mix with... cheese, anchovies, for example, is my best.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever you like it. Mm-hmm. Even chocolate. And it's, according to Ferran Adrià, the food of the future. So try it and you
I think it's the food of the present. All right. Just so everybody. Kensington is only a mile and a half north of the district line on Connecticut Avenue. Mm-hmm. Come to this event because it's a ton of fun.
And everything you heard here you can find on the list or youonit.com. But tell everybody, please, where they can find more about the restaurant week that you guys are hosting.
In our social media, Catalonia US, you can check it in Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or website. You have all the information of all the restaurants participating and about the Kensington Fair tomorrow. Everyone is welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. All right, Ash, I need you to move your little tush over here.
Woo!
Okay. So we talk about your infused products? Because you make your own line.
Yes, I have my own line. It is called Lifted Libations. You can follow us at Lifted Libations DC.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide a line, five amazing flavors. We've tasted two of them without the infusion today.
Okay.
And then we're going to taste one of the same flavors with the infusion now.
Uh-huh.
So you can taste the difference in just how, I don't know, somehow that herb really helps to even blend and bring ingredients together.
Does it provide a flavor to the libation?
It does add a little bit of flavor. And so that's kind of why I created my own line. When you go to some of these dispensaries, they're very potent. They're,
you taste it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You taste that very strong aftertaste. And I think with some of my cocktails, you taste it less. With some of the herbal syrups and fresh ingredients, it really helps to mask that.
How many products are you infusing at the moment?
As of right now, I have five different flavors, and we provide honey. So honey is super medicinal. We use an awesome...
Do I want to put it on my face, too?
You could probably use it on your face.
Asking for a friend.
Wait a minute. I think if you drink it, it'll be on your face.
Okay. All right. But this is some very potent honey, so you want to... A little bit goes a long way, so supplement it with a little bit of regular honey, Nikki.
Okay.
With your, but it's very medicinal. It'll help you sleep. It helps heal. It's just amazing. So hit me up for some honey. Hit me up for some infused mocktails and cocktails. Check out Lifted Libations DC's Instagram to see all the things that we offer.
Okay, well, you passed out those last things.
We're going to pass out the last things.
Where are you on Insta? Say it one more time.
Lifted Libations DC. But, of course, the main business is McPhierce_experience. And that's where you can talk to me about all things mixology classes, private events. I travel for work as well. I do a lot of work with the Congressional Black Caucus. Shout out to them. So, I'm so happy to be here and be able to talk to you guys
about this.
Shops Ball, you know.
Right.
I know David was talking about.
We got to cut you off.
You got to cut you off.
Cut me off. Shops Ball.
I'm so sorry, girl. Sorry. Okay, do your thing.
All right, very quickly. I cannot solve all the problems in the world. I have
barely
a solution.
Solve what's going on in the house.
I have a solution. That's not nice. I have a solution for the Middle East, but nobody wants to listen to me. But Congress finally did the right thing and approved a bunch of money for Ukraine, because if we don't stop the Russians there, they're going to be next door. Mm-hmm. So God bless them. But if you're out there are still millions of refugees from the Sudan to Ukraine to the Middle East, Palestine, all over, that need help. So, you know, take a buck out of your pocket and give it to the Red Cross, give it to the Red Crescent, give it to Jose.
Yes.
Feed these people, take care of them, because
it's important.
It's a small world. Our mother is a small planet.
Okay. And I want to thank all of our guests for joining us in studio today. It was a rock and roll show. Everything you heard here you can find on the list, areyouonit.com, the online zine that tells you everything happening in the D.C. metro area. Of course, you want to follow me at NYCCINELLIS on every single platform because you want to see what I'm eating and what I'm doing and where I'm going because it's all good. Everybody, if you celebrate Passover, have a great Seder. If you celebrate Earth Day, which you should, do something special for Mother Earth. Buy a flower, give a book, be safe out there, have a delicious week.